I'm so glad to be here with you today, and I thank you for the warm welcome. Today's gospel lesson is John 14, verses 1 through 14. Listen for a word from God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of God for the people of God. When I think of home, of a dwelling place, I often picture the old, white, brick house in Chillicothe, Ohio, that has been in my family for over 200 years. My great, 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 honestly, I'm not sure how many times great, Grandpa Levi Anderson lived in the house on Springdale Farm in the late 1700s, before there were many other people there, and before Ohio was even a state. Many people have lived in the house since then, and there have been some changes and additions. There are stories from when my father and aunt grew up there, and from before when my grandma was only a child. I often think about the many family members who came before me, those who I never got to meet, those who lived so many years ago, and how they also dwelt in that house. What memories did they make there? In my lifetime alone, there have been many special memories made there. There have been both times of joy and times of sorrow. In that house, there were baby showers, Christmases, Easters, 4th of July Olympics, family reunions, and meals after the funerals of loved ones. Some of my favorite memories were made around the dining room table at Sunday dinner, eating delicious food cooked by my grandma and laughing with my family. It was also on a Sunday in that room that my family prayed with my grandpa and said our final goodbyes. That house, and the land it sits on, for me, is a sacred place. In today's scripture passage, John 14, 1 through 14, Jesus shares about his Father's house, which has many dwelling places. He is preparing his disciples for a time when he will no longer be with them in body. On the earth. The passage is part of Jesus' farewell discourse in John, his last will and testament. He says, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. You know the place where I am going. However, the disciples are confused. Thomas says, Wait a minute, Jesus. We don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? This seems like a fair question and one many of us would ask. There was no geographical location given, so how could they know the direction? Where is the Father's house? How do we get there? What landmarks can help us know that we are going in the right direction? And Jesus replies with a statement that seems to confuse them even more. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." "Wait a minute, Jesus," Philip says. "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Even though Jesus has talked often about the Father, his Father, and how he is the Son, they still do not understand. For people who did not grow up with this idea that God came to dwell among us in and through Jesus, this would be difficult to wrap their mind around. Even though they have walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, listened to Jesus, seen Jesus, it is still confusing. How is Jesus the way? What does that mean? How did they see the Father through Jesus? We also have our questions and struggles with this passage today. A popular understanding of John 14 has come to be that when Jesus is talking about his Father's house, he is talking about heaven, a place that we go after death. A place where we are going but are not presently. And what is the way to heaven? Through Jesus. This is translated in various ways. One reading is that we are saved and can go to heaven to our Father's house by believing in Jesus. Sometimes this comes with reciting a prayer, sometimes with baptism, sometimes with good works, and sometimes with evangelism, and sometimes all of these. Another understanding of the way that we come to God through Jesus is through grace. Grace that is freely given through the love of God and life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Although we may disagree what this way to God through Jesus looks like or entails, most agree that the destination is otherworldly, heaven after death. Well, I do believe that hoping in life after death and the nearness of God, even when we pass from this earth, is an important part of Christian faith, I wonder, are we confused about what Jesus is saying here too? Have we become too caught up in looking forward? If so, how does this affect our living now? Ever since I have left Chillicothe, Ohio for undergrad and seminary, I have not felt that same connection to the place I am located. I don't know that I have actually dwelt in a place. While I have made some connections in the areas I have lived, found friends, met and cultivated a relationship with my husband Mike, and done some meaningful ministry in those places, I have not really become rooted. I have felt as though I am just passing through, always looking forward to the next destination. Maybe you have felt this way too. Maybe you are feeling called to become more rooted also. It seems like it becomes harder and harder to become rooted, to really dwell in a place. Part of this may be growing up and natural transitions in life, but a lot of it, I suspect, comes from a rapidly changing world and a Christian culture that has become entrenched in the practice of moving forward. Of just passing through this world, this life, to get to something we think will be better. As a Christian theologian, Leonard Jalmerson discusses in his book, No Poem Like Place, we have become disconnected from our particular place in the world. He discusses the ways in which we have left place for the freedom of space. We have let go of particularity and embraced universality. This comes with greater awareness of other people around the world, of other cultures and religions. It also allows us to see the faces of loved ones who are miles away. We can keep in touch with friends through Facebook and read news from another country within seconds of it happening. The growth in technology is helpful in many ways, but have we discounted or become blind to the ways that it is harmful? We have many relationships, but are they relationships with real depth? We can get news from around the world quickly and talk with many friends at once on our phones and tablets, but does this connection with people in other places distract us from what is happening right where we stand? We begin to become blind to or can more easily ignore the injustices happening right beside us. We can lose sight of the ways that creation is being taken advantage of and destroyed. We can forget the people who have lived in a place before us and the ones who will come after us. We take for granted that what we do in the world affects it and shapes it. We miss the many amazing gifts that surround us. So, when Jesus talks about the Father's house having many dwelling places in John 14, what else might he be saying? In the psalm we read this morning, we hear that God has become a dwelling place for the people. And in the passage from Ephesians, we learn that the people have become a dwelling place for God. So perhaps this language about dwelling places is not about a place where we are going, but a deepened relationship in the place where we already are. Maybe the Father's house is the whole earth, is all of creation, in which there are many dwelling places. Jamerson discusses how the rest on the seventh day in the creation story in Genesis is similar to the way in which rulers would rest or seize a place. So maybe the house of God, the temple, the kingdom, is here, now, on earth. Maybe we are already living in the Father's house. Jesus says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Just as the Father dwells with Jesus, God dwells with us, in relationship through the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus does not say to wait for what is to come, but to do something now. We have seen God because we have seen Jesus. Jesus is the way who uplifts love and compassion, the way who reaches out and draws in those who have been cast out, the way who walks alongside others, listens, heals, teaches, the way who prepares a place for us, the way who dwelt on earth with us. The promise, the hope, the good news in this passage is not necessarily about future salvation. It is about salvation now. Leonard Jamerson writes about a sacramental way of seeing the world, which allows a way of holding a creative tension between place and space, between the particulars and the universal, a way that allows us to experience God beyond our location and love and connect with people around the world, but still remain rooted. He says, "Real sacramentality does not merely emphasize that we live in a grace world, but also reminds us that Christ died to redeem all places, all cultures, all nations, to hold a view of the world where God becomes flesh. It's to acknowledge that God loves places, loves the particular." This is the call of God, to be rooted in a particular place, a dwelling place, one of many in the house of God, a place where we can live into the way that Jesus showed us, where we will do greater works than these, a place where we can be in relationship with God and our neighbors, where we can learn from our differences, where we can encounter God in one another, where we can participate in the life of God, where, through the grace received in Jesus, we can work for the common good. Appreciating the creation around us and striving for salvation from broken relationships, from destruction of the earth, from prejudice and greed and injustice, a dwelling place where we can thrive in relationship, be rooted in love, and help to bring about heaven on earth. In God's house, there are many dwelling places. In God's house, here and now. Amen.